Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is August 9th, 2006. Today's special is entitled Curanderismo, Folk Healing, presented by Carmen Guerrero, number GUC 2006-02. Let's listen in.
A little bit of research, and I'm hoping that to use this presentation. I've done this presentation before. Okay, I was asked to do a presentation a couple of years ago to a group of girls in Phoenix through a program called the Rites of Passage. And it's a group, it's a city program that gets, 30 women aged 14, 15, and they do a rites of passage, and they introduce them to different cultural values and to different activities. And they asked me to present about curanderismo because they were desperate, they couldn't find anybody. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that a lot of it, because curanderas have been associated with witches, mm-hmm. brujas in Espanol, so there is a certain stigma, like when people get introduced as curanderas, they always, there's that, are you one of those witches, what is it, so there's a lot of negative stigma associated with it. So I did it, I said, I'm going to approach it from an artistic viewpoint, and, I don't care what anybody calls me, so I started studying. And looking at different books and talking to healing women, I did meet a couple of curanderas who are published with books and things like that. But this is just to give you an idea of what it is. It's a traditional folk healer prevalent in Latin America and Mexico, the Chicano community of the Southwest United States. And most of it has to do with the fact that people don't have money for doctors. People don't trust doctors. In our society, we're becoming increasingly skeptical about what are the powers of the doctors. Why are we giving them all these thousands of dollars? What is it that they do? And in the Chicano communities, they don't have money. They're always looking for la sobadora, the one who will massage them. They're going to look for somebody who knows how to treat with herbs. They're going to look for somebody who knows how to treat by prayer. So these are the reasons why, a little bit of the treatments that they make over here. They also do the evil eye, take it away, like especially for little kids. If you have a cute little kid and they get sick, overnight, we have a saying in Spanish that is mal de ojo, like somebody just looked at this child, and because this child is so beautiful and so young and innocent, he got affected by it. So there's a special healing that goes through that people heal. Now, what I'm talking about is primarily the Mexican and Chicano communities, families. I don't know, you come from different backgrounds and everybody has a different story. I'm sure in your culture too, you've had ancestors that healed by warming your hands and putting it on top of things and praying on top of different body parts. Hello, come on in. What else was I going to say? A lot of the things that are talking about, impacho, espanto, these are susto, mal aire, or mal de ojo. These are all like Spanish words that come with it. Okay, the method of treating healing problems often lead to conflict with modern medicine. Now, what I find that most people are doing is they're doing a combination of religion, folk healing, and modern medicine. I mean, they will try to treat your headache, but they also will turn around and say, by the way, take Tylenol, they combine everything because, we are in a sense doing resourcefully by creating our resources, whatever we have available. 100 years ago, our healers didn't have access to Tylenol like we do, but we do, why not? So a lot of the people use it, and then they combine traditional medical profession with folk healing, with traditional practices. And the roots of curanderismo, where does it come? 500 years ago, we had medicine in this continent. Native Americans mm-hmm. know so many herbs that cure so many ailments. And what modern medicine has been able to do is get the principle of that herb, like, let's say, lavender, and distill it and put it in an oil or put it in a form that's easily transported and easily applicable. So they've had the knowledge, The curanderas have insight also in terms of the personal values, the family, and the culture, which is what Western medicine is lacking. Those doctors do not have that connection to community, mm-hmm. Like the curanderas do. The curanderas know who your mother is, who your grandmother is, because they're living in the community, and they understand the family, the culture. And we also feel like curanderismo is a gift that our ancestors has left us. I mean, a lot of the women that I talk to, they talk about how the most precious thing in our culture is to be able to heal ourselves. There's a saying in Spanish, la cultura cura, which means culture cures. And it's our connection to our cultura. Cultura by promoting pride, but also using culture as dance, as music, as visual arts, theater, literature, and poetry. All these are viewed in the eyes of curanderismo as healing instruments. Because a lot of curanderismo is based on all your senses. They don't just cure you by what you see, but also by what you smell, by what you eat, by what you touch, and what you hear. So you can be cured in all different ways. It's not just a pill that you're gonna take. It's also what you're gonna eat, it's also how you're gonna sleep, it's also what you're gonna hear, and how it's gonna be touched. So it's a whole combination. It's much more holistic approach. One of the most important books I've read is The Woman Who Glows in the Dark.
Yeah, that's a good
by Elena. Do you know her?
Yeah, I read the book.
I've met her.
Oh, you're lucky.
At a conference. And she was the one who really gave me this thing. And I said, well, I'm so curious about curanderismo. I've been exposed to, but then I don't know. And she goes, what's stopping you? And I said, well, those women, you know, the girls, you know, have this rites of passage program, which I've supported for so long doing arts, and now they want me to do, why don't you do it? And I'm like, should I? And she goes, I'm going to start calling you medicine woman. That's what she did to me. She was very empowering, very amazing. And her book is amazing, really. If you want some good reading about curanderismo, that's the one, The Woman Who Glows in the Dark. And the person who wrote her preface or her introduction to the book is that Clarissa Pinkola's guest, who did Women Who Run with the Wolves book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool.
You remember that? Well, she did the introduction to Elena's book. So anyway, we're talking about a lot of curanderismo does is dealing with the soul also. So that's a very thin line where religion and curanderismo cross. And that's the disconnect that we have with Western medicine. Western medicine wants to know, okay, you have a knee pain, well, we're going to deal just with that knee. We're going to do exploratory surgery, and we're going to give you medicine just for that knee. You know what I mean? And they isolate. And the curanderismo is like, okay, your knee hurts. Well, you might have some kind of emotion or something that you're holding on to. What's going on with your soul? What's going on with your life? How happy are you? Are you carrying on a grief, una pena, you know, they say it like this in Spanish, that we don't know about it, that's affecting you. And then we know from other studies, holistic health, that all your emotional, your psychological, your soul affect your body. But Western medicine doesn't recognize that because it cannot be scientifically proved. So anyway, curanderismo, I like this line over here that Elena says, that it offers solution to coping with the daily struggle to balance the demands of relationships, home life, and career. And I think that's all of us women. I mean, we are at the age of multitasking to the max. The guys are finally catching up, but we are the queens of multitask. I mean, and I speak not only for myself, but how many things do we do a day? We are mothers, we're tending to our family, we're cooks, we're cleaners, we're also professional women, we're dealing with the community at large. I mean, I feel like my relationship, my home career, my home life, and my career are always, like, you know, at odds of each other at different times. When something is good, something is bad. The total human, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. You know, that's another thing that Western medicine does not really see, like I said. But with curanderismo, they try to find all the roots. They try to find, if you have something physical, maybe your mental, what are you thinking? What kind of dreams are you having? What kind of, do you believe in God? And what kind of relationship do you have with your God? I mean, I have never seen a medical doctor ask me that kind of question. But if you go to curandera, they are asking you that. Very deep thoughts, because we are more than just the physical realm. This is a spiritual healing of prayer that I found in one of the books that I read. And it's talking about thank you, which is gratitude. You, the principle, God, divine intelligence. I am the individual moving with rhythm in unity with your realization of divine flow. Consideration. And think about all these points that we have to make in terms of gratitude and principle and all these things, and we are not thinking about that more often. You know, our lives are so busy. We're dealing with all the little trinkets around our house or our lives or whatever it is, and we're not thinking about our soul in a deep, you know, personal, intimate way. Okay, Virgen de Guadalupe, I'm going to be talking more about her on Friday. But she's the biggest icon we have in Latino culture right now. She is the biggest curandera, actually, because everybody pays attention to her. She's the mother of God, and she came and appeared to an Indian man, and she performed miracles, and she was able to become a political force in Mexico. And, you know, she's a symbol of Mexico. So I'm going to show you some pictures of religion things that people look up to. The Lady of Perpetual Help. I've seen in a few curanderas altars, because they have a corner in their house where they have their icons, and that's where they perform their healings. The Virgin of Lady of Perpetual Help is always present there because she's a big icon. A lot of people believe in angels. And angels for a while had a big resurgence in culture. Lots of books were written about asking your angel, finding out how do you find your angel, and a lot of people use that to heal. You know, they feel like they have the power of angels. This is a very another icon in Latino culture. I don't know how many of you had this picture on your bedside. I had that
in my house. I put it over the bridge right now. The angels falling over the bridge.
Yeah, and there's another one for boys. Okay, look, there's a boy over there too. If you go to any store that sells religious or, you know, healing things, you know, for Latin culture, they have angels. Very important in our culture to have, for boys and for girls. And a prayer to the guardian angel. You know, my guardian, to whom his love commits me here, ever this day or night be at my side, go light and guard to rule and guide. Then the Holy Spirit is also very much summoned by a lot of the curanderas. You know, they are the ones who empower us with this, the power to heal. La Señora del Carmen, that's my patron saint, you know. But it's also used to ask favors and to ask intercession and healing people, intervention. This is the goddess of the sea from Brazil. Actually, it's an African goddess, Iemanjá, that the African slaves brought them to my country of Brazil. That's where I come from. Mm-hmm. And she's the one who helped them cross the ocean. Because back in those days, I don't know how many of you have seen Amistad, but the way they crossed the ocean was the worst conditions ever. Mm-hmm. And they were full of fear and hunger, and that was the goddess that helped them cross. And then, of course, we have the power of Jesus to help, and the cross to help us. Oops. Wait. Won't go now. Oh, I don't know what to do. Volume. Oh, there you are. Thank you, Katie. How do I do that? Oh, there we go. I'm not going to touch this. Well, the previous slides, I don't have to show it. That's all right. Just leave it like that, Katie. I'll go, okay. The previous slides I'm talking about, this is a mass that Zarco did called Oral History, Oral Tradition. And I used to illustrate the fact that a lot of the curandero, the practices that we have, this all come down to oral tradition. It's only in the last maybe 100 years that books have been written about curanderismo with a positive. This is another beautiful prayer, Native American prayer about the Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, and whose, I can't read. Can you read it? It's too fuzzy, huh? I have to read to this one. Okay, here's another Hindu prayer. There is this power that belongs to the people in prayer and community that is universal. It's not only, you know, prevalent in Latino culture. If you you go to India, most of the healing is done people in the streets who are healers. If you go to different cultures, they have different ways of looking at healing. In Mexico, life is a dance with death. So they you have that very close relationship with death. I talked about this on Monday, how everywhere you go, you know that the only sure thing about life is death. You never know when a child is born, you never know what that child is going to be, how long it's going to live, but you know that one day that child will be gone. So the Mexicans make a lot of fun out of death. And I also talk about our circle of friends and family being part of our healing power. And also, when you have a close friend or a close family member who is ill or he's not well, you will suffer with that person. So you are attached to friends and family. It's not without detachment. And then the advice I give those little girls, and I'm sorry that this presentation I did gear to the 15 years old, okay? But I'm trying to make it bigger. It's like you always have to approach everything with a big smile and just hope for the best. I talked a little bit about yoga. A lot of girls, young girls, neglect their bodies or they don't think about it. But we were trying to get them to understand how yoga is a science of mind and body. And the more you do it, the better off you are, and your body will, you know, resist disease and have better stamina, a lot more energy, and how yoga is a very satisfying physical therapy. And then I talk about, I do yoga too, and so sometimes I demonstrate to the girls what it is because they don't know. I talk about the chakras, and those are channels of energy in our bodies that we need to be aware and in touch with so that we can grow, we can understand ourselves. I also talked about acupuncture, because a lot of people have very much of a prejudice against anything else which is not Western medicine that doesn't have a doctor on it. You know, Chinese, what do you mean Chinese? Well, the Chinese have been practicing acupuncture for over 2,000 years. And it is a proven method of healing people. So aromatherapy is another thing that a lot of the curanderas use. Like if you're having bad dreams or if you're having bad thoughts, the way to cure that is through aromatherapy. Oh, come on in.
Oh, thank you.
Great books to read is the Popol Vuh, which is the Mayan holy book. The Four Agreements, which is talks about the ancient Toltec wisdom, and also The Woman Who Glows in the Dark, which is the one I talked to you about. Color therapy. There's some curanderas that do curing through colors. You know, you have an aura, and you have different colors in your aura. And maybe you live in a house that is painted a different color that conflicts with your aura, and then causes you illnesses, your feelings, and your thoughts, or whatever. So it's very, we talked to Elena Avila, that book also talks about color therapy. Oh, with the girls, I always talk about we are what we eat, how much we eat, what's important. And I like this food chart better than the pyramid that U.S. uses it, because it's more variety, more colors, and you can look at it. Cure yourself, transform your spirit, and heal your body. That's another thing that's really important. Curanderas are always saying that they can only cure as long as you are allowed to, you are allowing yourself to be cured. So in essence, we are our own curanderas, first and foremost, and we have to realize that. If you think you're sick, you are going to get sick. If you act sick, yeah, it's going to catch up with you. So curing yourself is a really important thing. Sleeping, I also talk to the girls how adolescent needs 8 to 9.5 hours of sleep. I cannot function without 8 hours of sleep. And so many people are running and running around and trying to, you know, make do with 5-6 hours of sleep. And women, us especially, you know, when they have young babies that don't sleep through the night and they wake up, it's very, very tough. And your body, you know, all these deprivation happens. Decreased attentiveness, short-term memory, inconsistency, delayed response time, more accidents happen when you're tired. So I'm always telling the girls that sleeping and dreaming, a lot of healers always ask you, what have you been dreaming? What are you dreaming? And if you have a bad dream, there's specific healers that help you get away from your bad dreams. how we carry ourselves with grace, gratitude, respect, center, and love, with seeking wisdom, and to find peace, harmony, community, beauty, and joy in all that we do. So this is pretty much my whole presentation in a nutshell. Thank you. I have brought it here. I don't know where the light is. Some of the, oh, thank you. You know, I have incense. I'm not going to burn it, but I just thought I'd bring it to every end.
I brought you some health food.
A lot of Native American, Native American people burn many different things. They burn sage. I don't know how many of you are familiar with sage, but I'll pass it around so you can smell. I guess we cannot turn it on here. This is cedar, and these are all sacred trees and this is sweet grass. So these are the three main grasses or things that most Native American communities and healers use for healing the sick. In Mexico, we have a special resin from a tree called copal. It doesn't smell. It smells so much better when it's burned. You know, it kind of melts and has this very strong musky smell. And a lot of healing is done through copal. You guys are familiar with all these herbs?
Yes, we do. That's what I know. It's so good.
I think the smash sticks are often sage and sweet grass.
Yeah, that's true. They put both of them sometimes. And then the copal, you have to burn. It's really hard to burn. It's not like an incense because it's a resin. So many, this is also from the Maya book, they talk about in the Popol Vuh, about the power of copal to clean your air, your aura, and to help you. This is a prayer stick from Tibet. And has one of the prayers right here. I don't think this has any specific smell. But the Tibetan believe in the power of the prayer flags. As a matter of fact, I see some of them, oh, thank you, right here on Chalet 6. Mm-hmm. You know, they make their prayers, they write their prayers in special, and then they put it out for the wind to take to God. But that's another curing, another healing that they do. In Brazil, we have a lot of African influence in our religion, in our ways of curing ourselves. A lot of people use these little ribbons, and they tie it on their arms, and they wear it until it falls out as a way of healing also. Oh, this is cedar. This is not a Native American. So these are the things I pass around and let the other girls, the young girls, you guys all know about it, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir.
So you guys all
old girls.
Why?
Oh,
not old.
Oh, that's...
Dog is an old girl.
So anything else you want to add or ask for about curanderismo?
I just wanted to pick up a verse and the Yakima Nation with the lady last week, and we stopped and picked cedar on the way.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
You know, something I found here at Holden that quite by accident, I was reading a book called The Hummingbird's Daughter. It was a wonderful book if you ever get a chance to read it. It's about a woman in northern Mexico named Santa Teresita de Cabora. She was an amazing healer. She cured tens of thousands of people. She was the only woman ever exiled from Mexico. By the Mexican government, because the Indians thought she was a saint and was going to take.
They called her the saint.
They
followed her, and she was becoming very political and trying to.
But
fight.
It says it was funny. I was reading this book, and it said that her mother would, her grandmother, who was a powerful healer, on her altar she would put a wasp's nest, the paper of wasps nest on her altar, but never said anything more than that. And that day, or a couple of days later, I just walked out to the creek, and there was
a wasp
nest made out of wasp paper. So I took it home and put it on my altar, but suppose it's a very powerful substance.
Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you all for coming. And let's keep, looking for our healers in our community and honoring them, because we have them. And also inside us, you have the power of intention is very important.
Yeah.
If somebody's ill and you love that person and you have that intention to heal that person, believe me, it's going to make that person feel better.
Have you talked with Dr. Santa Cruz? He's doing sessions here too. He's already done two. And if you kind of like this, he's talking about how if you hurt one part of your body, it's connected to other parts. So maybe you have problems with your knees, but it really started out with all the stress in your neck.
And
it slows down all the pressure. So if you kind of like this whole other than Western medicine stuff, you should go to some of these sessions.
Really.
But he talks about the nerves, how nerves are all connected. It's very interesting.
Well, I feel like this century, people are getting a different attitude and a different ideology about curing and about medicine. Because it's so easy to just relegate your life to a medical doctor and think they know it all. And the biggest problem Western medicine has is diagnosing. Because they really don't spend enough time getting to know.
When I lived in Mexico City, we opened a clinic with a Mexican doctor and a Peruvian nurse and three women, and the women had their own clinic with, so the first thing was always to prescribe teas and tinctures.
Yeah.
And they knew it because their grandmothers knew it, but they also studied it. And so they had tinctures for things, of little oils that they put together, and they had their own prescriptions for things. And they worked with the doctors, because in the medical school there, where they know that people who don't have money for doctors will do that first. They wanted the women to be able to prescribe things with people in the community that would also help them.
So those are probably the best example is when we have Western medicine and
they work together.
Because then it's very easy to administer the traditional medication, but also with the knowledge of Western medicine.
My 5-year-old daughter, or when she was 5, the two of us were having the same stomach problems. Like, we had just once a month, and then once a week, and then pretty soon it was every day we were having these stomach problems. Just exactly the same. And I was going to my doctors, and they were giving me medicine. Try this one. And everyone made me sicker. And then but my daughter, with the exact same symptoms, she's going to grow out of it. These are growing pains. I was fascinated by this difference. And then we both went to a woman who mixes natural medicine, herbal medicine, and Western medicine. And she took one look at us. We talked to her for 45 minutes. And that was the beginning of our path to healing. Because the doctors weren't looking at the whole person. And she figured it helped us figure out how to do that, mostly through what we eat.
Oh, that is so important.
Yeah.
I know people who are always complaining that they have headaches or they have stomach aches, but they will drink 4 to 6 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And then they think that there's no relation. No relation, you know. Wow, think about it, you know. Or people who say, oh, I can't go to sleep. Or what did you have for dinner? Oh, it has nothing to do with my, you know. Or think about it. Oh, yeah, I just had a bowl of chocolate ice cream. Well, you know, chocolate has
caffeine,
sugar. Of course you can't go to sleep after you had a bowl of ice cream. If you eat a bowl of ice cream at 9:30 at night, you're not going to fall asleep at 10. My sister-in-law was doing that.
That's what my doctor, I went 4 years ago when I came back to the United States with high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and I was 50 pounds overweight, and she talked to me for an hour. This is like the best. She took a whole hour to know me. And so I asked her if she wouldn't give me medicine for 6 months if I could try to do something for myself. And she said, "You're a smart girl, go figure it out." And so I have lost weight since then, but I also have low cholesterol and low blood pressure now without having to take medicine. So
yeah,
that she would do that, that she would listen. And there was patients in other rooms, I could hear them. So you have to wait for her,
mm-hmm.
but she waits and she really, really, really listens.
Well, she's a very special
yeah.
doctor because most of them would not like that.
They just prescribe things.
Well, that was the same. Last year, Zarko did a blood test and found out he had, you know, not really high, but higher than the usual cholesterol. He's going like 227 when normal is 200, something like that. So he changed his diet. He cut off all the chips and the salsa that he was eating, a lot of the cheese in his diet. And 6 months later, when he took it, it was 109.
Yep.
So, you know, you can do that. But you are your first healer.
Yep.
So that's what I want you to get out of here. That you are your own curandera, so start figuring out. And you already did it, so
yeah.
that's great. And Haley, you can do it too.
I know, that's about you. The persons are good.
All right, ladies,
thank you.
I will see you around. Let me not put your voice. No, that's the deal. Thanks for bringing your words in here. Yeah, it's very important to share.
It is.
It is.
And it's inspiring now that here this year.
Yeah, and to know that you can be your own healer. Do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that
yeah.
Elena just told me, what are you waiting for?
That's
I said,
good.
I don't know, I'm not really good at that. She goes, well, become one.
Mm-hmm.
When I said, is it that easy? She goes, yeah, you just have to do it, Carmen.
But it changes your life to do it, so you really better.
Well, you have to start with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So, hey, I have to do that.
Good. When you go to school, what are you gonna like? What classes are you gonna take?
This year it'll be
just butthole 101.
Okay.
Hopefully,
I'm hoping to.
Individualize the disconnect, the soul, the mental state, the emotional state. They don't know how to do it. Yes.
Awesome, babe.
That they have this disconnect between the whole person.
Well, in the training, I think they're trying to disconnect.
themselves from people because if they're connected, they might.
All right.
Yeah. Get attached.
It's
going to
get pretty meaner.
Do we need the zone?
So, Haley, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
Again, I'm glad you came to this presentation.
Mm-hmm. My dad told me.
Really? Left soccer early for me.
Well, that's good.
Do you have a pen?
I'll see you later, Kevin.
Well, I'll see you, Katie. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have a pen.
You have a pen. Do you have a, an arm?
You have an arm. You know, are you, you're going to be living outside of the village, right?
Yeah, I am.
Do you have email?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just email me. Here, here's my, I'd love to correspond with you. Here's my email.
Oh, thanks.
And then you can ask me the name of the books, and
okay.
I can give it to you.
Cool.
Because I have the four agreements.
I think it's still here.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Oh, it won't be until after Vespers, so it's probably going to be about 9. Maybe we can start at 8:45. I don't know. I don't know how long Vespers is going to be today.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're taking a break from playing music at Vespers.
Ooh.
Because
we're going to be in class.